Play a song that I think you can praise the Lord about. You've heard this once before. Please stand. The words are going to be up. Sing along if you can. Go ahead.
From Emmanuel's veins, the sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness, all of my guilt was erased, the chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord.
Oh, come on, praise the Lord. You can be seated if you can. Just a word from Pastor Steve. He's over in New Zealand, and he said to tell those Aussies hello for him. He's over in there, and I think it's freezing over there, so as New Zealand would, and I think they had a wonderful time here, and we sure enjoyed having them as well. He hasn't said that. You demonstrated it very well while he was here. Can you imagine Mal doing the haka? Yeah. We won't get into the haka because that can be a little scary to see. Hey, are you really glad you're saved today? Why? Why are you glad you're saved? That's good. Anybody else? Why are you glad you're saved? First of all, are you sure you're saved? That's probably the most important thing you can do right there is make sure that. And yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too, seeing Jesus face to face. And you know why I know I'm going to do that? Because the Bible told me so. That's the only reason. But we are saved. Why are we saved? Can anybody tell me why we are saved? He loves us. Anybody else have any suggestions? Well, the obvious, yeah.
It's for peace. God wants to save me from the penalty of sin. Now he saves me from the power of sin. And one day he's going to save me from the presence of sin. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah, one of these days, hey, we're out of here. And I'm looking forward to that when we're out of here. But the obvious reason we're saved is because Jesus died, shed his blood for us to where we can be forgiven of our sins. That's the obvious reason, but there's a second one. The second one is the fact that we have chosen consciously on our part to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is the sovereignty of God and the free will of man side by side. God did his part, now we have to accept that for our part. So we have to make that decision. But what made Jesus do what he had to do? You see, I believe the love of God was so strong. Now listen to this. That it drove him to give up his son. To buy you and I back to him. Where he can know us and live forever. Live with him forever. The love of God was that strong for you, and it was that strong for me. You know, we need to get our heads around the love of God. It will change our lives if we get our heads around that concept. Often we go our day-to-day life, and we totally forget what God has done for us. It should permeate us. It should change us, and that's where we're going with all of this for the next couple of weeks. It should change every area of our life that God loved us. And all the love of God is, it's all built down into one word, grace. Grace. Well, what's grace? Often when we hear the word grace, we get these little comments that we put in our minds, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense, you know. And these comments, it makes it easy for us to remember. But too often when we break up a major concept into a small phrase, then we lose the majesty and the power of the concept. So what we want to do is expand a little bit on grace. Grace, for us, is unmerited and undeserved. You and I can't buy it. We don't deserve it. We shouldn't have it. But because of the love of God, it is unrestrained and offered to us for us to accept. Aren't you glad of that? That the grace of God is so obvious and abundant for those who choose to trust Jesus. Grace. I mean, hymns have been written about it. Modern songs have been written about it. But grace, what do we do with grace in our lives? For the next little while, we're going to look at grace. But listen, to understand the value of grace, you're going to have to really be concerned about what God thinks. You see, if we don't have a high concept of God or a proper view of God, then him accepting us means nothing. You see, God is holy. He's righteous. He's majestic. He's the creator of all things, and ultimately he is the judge. He is our judge now and later. He will judge us. So with that concept in mind, we've got to grab the fact that because of grace, we can come before God accepted. Accepted. I was just reading this, and I was going to use this next week. But grace, what is it? Love upward is worship. But love bent over and reaching down is grace. God had to reach down to you and me to offer us grace. But there's a problem with that. In our day and age, we don't see ourselves as needing grace. Hey, we're all right, aren't we? I mean, we're pretty good. I mean, we're pretty talented. We're pretty strong. We're high achievers. And I'm going to really talk about that next week. I read a quote that really smacked me between the eyes. And, you know, that's kind of rough whenever you're studying a message to share with somebody else and it smacks you. Well, perhaps I'll understand it a little bit better. But sometimes we are so lifted up in ourselves, and I can be that way. Don't ask Julie about that for me, please. She'll let you know. We can be lifted up in our own abilities, but you see, we've got to understand that in God's eyes, we're really nothing. But because of his love for us, we're everything. You see, that's grace. 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 So what is grace? Grace is God's decision. Get that. It's his decision to extend to you and me an invitation to be a part of his eternal family. His choice. His invitation to allow me to be part of his family. That's overwhelming. Think about it. God will allow you to be part of his family. Think back over your life a little bit. Do you deserve to be part of God's family? I know I don't. No, I don't. But because I'm trusting Jesus, God chooses to invite me into his family to live forever. Man, if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, to understand that God loved me and you so much that he created grace to bring us together. What would it be like in a world without grace? If grace were not true, then you and I would still be accountable to every sin we have ever done or ever will do. There's no escaping it. We are all born into sin. We're sinners headed to a Christless eternity in a place that the Bible calls hell. Now, we don't talk about hell all that much, but it is a reality. And to understand the value of grace, you've got to at least imagine the agony of a Christless eternity in hell. Because of grace, you and I don't have to go there. And I don't care what the world is saying today. They try to push the reality of hell aside. But the same person who told us about heaven is the same one who told us about hell, folks. And you and I don't have to worry about it. Why? Because of grace. Grace. He chose to invite us into his family. Talking about hell's kind of strong words. But we have to understand. To understand grace, we've got to understand the penalty of sin. So just for a few minutes, and this is going to be probably a little theological, so hang on to your hat. What is the penalty of sin? Are we all sinners? Again, that's not something our society readily accepts. The Bible says we're all sinners. We're all, from the oldest to the youngest, we're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's the best person who ever lived is a sinner, except for Jesus. Again, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And that means from the very front row to the very back row, we are all unrighteous. Now, this is not politically correct, as if I was concerned about being politically correct. But the truth is, there is none righteous. All of us, we have gone our own way. And sin, just one sin, will lead to death and an eternity apart from God. One sin. Most people don't get that. Let me give you a couple of comments. Perhaps you've heard them. Well, I haven't done anything really bad. You ever had somebody tell you that one? I've not murdered anybody. I've not robbed a bank, so therefore I must be pretty good, right? Here's another one. Oh, but I'm a good person. You ever heard that one? Perhaps you've used it yourself. I'm a good person. Remember, the Bible sheds light on that. It says there is none righteous. No, not one. Now listen to this comment. There are a lot of good people that will miss heaven because they trust that they're good people. I want to say it again. There are a lot of good people that will miss heaven because they trust that they're good people. And that includes you and me. We got to make sure that we have grace applied in our lives. Each one of us could live the best life possible. We could give to charities. We could be members of the church. We could tithe our income. We could even give our bodies to be burned and sacrifice everything and still have no hope of heaven if we haven't had grace applied. So do you see the uselessness of our good works? Life without the grace of Jesus is nothing but hopelessness forever. John chapter 3, verse number 36, this is Jesus, or a summary of Jesus' words. He says, "He who does not believe the Son shall not see life." In other words, when we believe in Jesus, the Son of God, we can be forgiven. We become children of God. But listen to this. It goes on to say, but the wrath of God abides on those who haven't believed in the Son. Well, this is not much fun preaching today, Pastor Tony. I'm sorry, but you can't understand grace until you understand the penalty of no grace. You see what I'm talking about? I mean, we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and what's the next few words? A wretch? Oh, we don't have any wretches around here, do we? When you put my sin in the face of a holy, perfect God, you know what it looks like? Wretchedness. That's why grace is so valuable. We got to have the grace of God, the grace of Jesus applied. Life without the grace of Jesus means zero when you close your eyes in death because the wrath of God is coming if you do not have the grace of Jesus. So, hopefully, you can begin to feel the weight of grace. Grace is so, so important. Now, we've painted a pretty sad picture of humanity without grace. Now, let's take the hopelessness of the human condition and apply God's answer. John chapter 1, verse number 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus brought to us God's wonderful grace. Now, probably for the next couple of weeks, we're going to really enjoy talking about grace. But what I want to do is look at a time in human history where there was no grace. No grace of Jesus. The first part of that verse says the law was given through Moses. God gave the Old Testament law through Moses to kind of clean man up a little bit to where they can come to God. Now, the priests are the only ones in the temple that could approach God. These priests had the right bloodline. They had to have the right clothes. They had to wash themselves according to God's strict design. And any deviation from the law would mean death for them. How would you like to live like that? Anybody here want to live under Old Testament law? I mean, if you don't look right, act like, stand right, you ain't got it. Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't stand a chance. And back then, each year, once a year, one man, the high priest, after a huge ordeal of preparation, could go into the Holy of Holies to sacrifice, make a sacrifice for the people. And the requirements for that one man were so over the top that those listening outside put a bell on his ankle to make sure he's still alive and moving around. If he messed up, he's gone. How would you like to live like that? I'd be gone every day. Anybody here in the same boat I am? Are you beginning to understand the value of grace? Folks, we live in the grace age. We should get up every morning and say, praise God, I'm living under the grace of Jesus Christ. Now hang on to your hat, because next week we're going to be talking about how should that affect our lives because we understand grace. But this week I just want to paint you a picture of what grace is. Why would God be so harsh on sin? You know, we know we've got it. We serve a good God. He's a good, good Father. But you see, sin separated God from His creation. Sin separated God from His potential family. Let's make it personal. Would you hate anyone who would destroy your family? Think about it, would you? Well, God did too. And it was that sin that separated Him from His creation. So God made it that something had to die to remove that sin of that stain. As we read before, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, often we focus so much on truth that we don't focus on grace. Anybody guilty of that? I mean, we're searching for truth, but we live graceless lives. I could be that way. Today we want to change that. But you know that priest that came in each year, he had to sacrifice a lamb, spotless, white, perfect, the best of the best. And according to the New Testament, Jesus Himself became that spotless Lamb of God who was sacrificed for you and me to where God could give us grace through faith in His Son. He gave His best. God gave His best to know us forever. My friend, that's grace. That's not karma. That's grace. You know, we hear so much about karma in New Age philosophy today. What is karma? Somebody tell me what karma is. I think karma is if you do a lot of bad, you're going to go down in your next life if you believed in that. Or if you do a lot of good, you're going to go up in the next life. Hey, I'm glad that's not true, because I don't want to be accountable for my sin. Grace removes it. It doesn't make me pay for it. Somebody say hallelujah. Grace, grace, grace. So important. So what is grace? Grace is an act of God that separates us from our sin and makes us accepted as his child to live with him forever. That's grace. So today we've looked at what grace is. And we took a look back into the Old Testament to see what gracelessness was. I would not want to be an Old Testament Jew who had to live by the law, because we know now, even by the Apostle Paul, that nobody could live that way. I mean, Paul was the best of the best of the Pharisees, and he said he couldn't do it. We didn't stand a chance. But see, Jesus came on the scene and he fulfilled the law absolutely perfectly. He said, I did it. Now I'm going to offer to you grace. That's where we live. Folks, we should be thanking God every day for that. So today we live in the overflow of grace. And because of grace, I no longer have to live under the penalty of my sin. It's gone. Because of grace, I can enjoy life without the condemnation of my past. Because of grace, my name is written in the book that will forever guarantee my presence with Jesus forever. Because of grace, I can be the best that God created me to be. All of these things are because of God's grace. Grace. Now listen. I want everybody to listen to me. And we can have grace in our lives if you've made the conscious decision to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Have you done that? Have you done that? It doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how many wonderful things you have done. It doesn't matter how good looking you are or how ugly you are. It doesn't matter. Those things are so totally irrelevant. The only thing that makes a difference in our life forever is, have we trusted Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, to be the sacrifice for our sin? Have you made that decision? Have you made that decision? If you have not, that is the most important thing you're facing for the rest of your life. Now, there's be some people who say, I'm sorry, but my life is so rotten. Not even the grace of Jesus can clean me up. But I would like to read to you something Max Lucado said. If you fear you've written too many checks on God's kindness account, you drag regrets around like a broken bumper, you huff and puff more than you delight in rest, and most of all, if you wonder whether God can do something with the mess of your life, then grace is what you need. So have you accepted grace? Not condemnation, not judgment, not belittlement, but grace. God's decision to make you his child. Have you done that? Well, next week, we're going to begin to paint a picture of what it looks like to have a life filled with grace. Because you see, when we realize how powerful grace is, listen closely, it will revolutionize every part of your life. Nothing will go untouched to grab what grace means it will change everything. Are you ready for that journey? If you really want to understand grace, pray that God will give me insight into this, okay? I am following a pretty good author, and that's Chuck Swindoll. He's got some good information about this. But folks, I tell you what, we need to learn to appreciate grace and the vast difference that God has made in us because of his love that provided grace. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that it has become so much clearer today what grace is all about. It's not just a word. It's not just words in a song. It's not a cute little easy-to-remember phrase. Grace permeates every area of our life. It's on every page in the Bible. It's a major theme. So, Father, help us to understand grace. Then may we all be transformed as only grace can transform us. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. Now, anybody here glad you're saved? Let's go out and live like we're saved, all right? Let's sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Get that, the last word? Grace. Have a good week. I think we make a pretty good picture, don't you?